Okay, continuing in Dinei HaMitzvah, the lochos of the mitzvah, Maisa Rishon, the first tithe that's given to Levi, Vamr Zichron Levracha, She'onas HaKishuin, that the correct time for the, so Kishuin Va'Vetichen, and watermelons, Va'Dluin, and other types of melons, gourds, Mishi Yishafshef. So when do these things become liable and to have the Trumas U'Maisa separated? It's when you rub them. What do you mean you rub them? Kilomar shiyasir osu se'ar dak shalan. There's a little like hairy growth on these types of plants. And you take that off because you can't eat it with the hairy growth. So when you take off the hairy growth, so then you now have to separate trumas u'maisros from these plants. Bonas kalkola shel peros mishechape aperos sheba be'olin uvehutzin. So when you take a group of fruit, it's when you cover this this basket full of fruit with something to protect it, like leaves and other types of plant detritus to protect it. That's when you have to separate the trumas u'maisros, because that's when it's like a gemar malacha. That's when it's fully ready to be in. So the Chazal talk about all different types of fruits and vegetables, that the appropriate time when you're finished working on it, then it becomes required to have Strumas and Meisr separated. Kol kemo shebab maseches Meisr, you can find it all maseches Meisr. Vod reisi bin in kviyos ha-Meisr min ha-Torah. Shedas ksas min ha-Mefarshim she'en kviyos Meisr le'olam b'shum tzad ad re'iyas p'nei ha-Bayis. That all these things are very nice, but Lemaisa, the only thing that actually obligates it on a Deoraisa level, the other stuff is Dirabanan, towards the end of me, towards the end of mitzvah Shin Sarihei. So some people say that this is all good on a Dirabanan level, but on a Deoraisa level, the only thing that obligates the produce to have Trumas U'Maisra separated is that it comes into the house. It has to be a house that is done appropriately. So what does that mean? Shnemar bi'arti hakodesh min habayis. And we talk about the mitzvah of vidui maisris, that every 3 years, you have to, when you there's a requirement that you have to get, before Pesach, you have to get rid of all the maisris in your house. You have to give it to the appropriate parties, and the maiser sheni, if you haven't eaten it yet, then it has to be destroyed or redeemed on a coin, and then you destroy the coin. That's something people have to be cognizant of. You just kind of forget it. That even in Eretz Yisrael especially, but even if you have in Chutz Laaretz, you have a coin that you use to redeem the Maaser Sheni. So let's say you go to the store and you buy carrots, Israeli carrots, and you have to Maaser them because there's no indication on the package of carrots that has Echsher. You have to Maaser the carrots. So in order to redeem the Maaser Sheni, you need to have a coin. So it's possible to have a coin for Maaser Sheni even in Chutz Laaretz, and certainly in Eretz Yisrael, that you have to keep in mind that you have to get rid of this coin every couple of years, every 3 years. Oh, yeah. Yeah, flush it down the toilet, something like that. You get rid of the coin.
Oh, don't flush it down the toilet. You block the plumbing.
Okay, well, you throw it into the Hudson River, I don't know, so whatever. So you you get rid of the coin somehow. Again, this has to be a large coin. It could be a nickel, something like that. It doesn't have to. It's not a large expense. You have to get rid of the coin every 3 years. So, and again, when all the crazy Erev Pesach preparations, you also have to remember every 3 years that if you have a Meisr coin, then you have to throw it out before Pesach. But in any event, the way the, if you do all this correctly and you don't have any Meisr sitting around your house at the wrong time, you haven't given it to the coin yet, then you have, you do what's called vidui Meisr. You have to, when you bring your Bikurim, then you have to say that you got rid of, you did all the stuff regarding the Trumas U'Maisros correctly. So this only applies if you didn't make any mistakes. You have to know that you didn't make any mistakes regarding the separating of the Trumas U'Maisros during the whole period of time before you make the Vidui Maisros. But in any event, one of the lines in the Vidui Maisros is the beginning of Parshas Kisavu is Bi'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, that I got rid of all the holy stuff from my house. So why does it say from my house? It just say I got rid of all the holy stuff. Meaning, Chazal learned out from this, Ushiach Nisein Laperos Derech Hashar, that it has to be that you bring, on a Deoraisa level, it has to be that you bring the produce into your house. before it becomes obligated to separate Truma Sumaisa. So on a Daraisa level, no matter what you did, no matter what hard work you did on the produce before it comes into your house, if it's still in the field, if it's still in the granary, then it's only Chayav Midrabanan, it's only Chayav Midaraisa when you bring it into the house. And it has to be, you have to bring it in the front way. You have to bring it into the house, in the front entrance to the house. They shall eat in your gates, and they shall be satiated. So it does mean that in your gates has to be the that you have to bring in the fruit, the and the proper door of the house, as opposed to Gagim. But if you lower it in through the skylight, then on a deraisa level you will not be obligated to separate Truma Sumaisris from this produce. That this is the sheet of the Rambam. Near Elisha in Lokin Minat Torah. Again, it's not 100% clear, but it seems that there's no biblical penalty of Malkus al achilas hatevel ad sheyikba bichnisosu labayis. That it has to be fixed for the obligation of Truma Sumaisris when it comes into the house. Vayim nikba bishar dvarim hakvuin lemaiser ein Lokin olav ela makas mardus. But if you ate it after the other things, like forming a pile or smoothing it over with a shovel, all these other things that indicate that you're done working on this produce, then you will only receive the penalty of makas mardus, the rabbinical type of lashes. V'yaser prateh mevar maseches maisres. This is obviously the appropriate place to discuss these halachos, is in maseches maisres. We have maseches trumas and maseches maisres and maisres sheni. We have a different masechtes in the Mishnah, the Tosefta, and the Yerushalmi that deal with all the different types of tithes separately. Yeah, so most things are only Chayav Midrabanan. Most things are Chayav Midrabanan, yeah. Because we learned also that if something is grown to sell, so technically you're exempt from Truma Sumaisa. It has to be something that, you know, was grown personally and you bring it into your house.
For the purpose of eating it with your family, or
no, for any reason. The purpose doesn't matter. You could, I mean, it can't be to sell, right? If you grow it in order to sell, so gemar malacha lemechira, no. But it could be that you have a whole batch of produce and you bring it into your house, and then it's chayav completely midaraisa, and then you want to sell some after that, then that would be chayav midaraisa, yeah. But the truth is that most things are only there are many derabanans. Because according to the most shittas, so the only types of produce in general that are chayiv to Truma Sumaisris, midaraisa, are dagon tirosh v'yitzar, are grain, olive oil, and wine. So vegetable, fruits is a machlokes, but vegetables, according to everyone, is only the rabbanan. So you have to remember that, you know, if you go to a store and you buy lettuce in Israel, so you got tons and tons of the rabbanan. So you got that it was, grown to sell, and, it wasn't brought into your house, and it's only obligated midrabanan to begin with.
Are there mashgichim really to oversee this type of situation in Israel?
Hopefully.
It's supposed to be. Stores advertise so that they
it's,
have
it. It's the responsibility of the owner to make sure that he has the mashgiach to oversee this before something actually comes into a position of where it's available for sale.
Yeah, that's part of the hechsher. In Israel, in America, we think fruits and vegetables don't need a hechsher, but in Israel, you have to buy your fruits and vegetables with hechsher. So you have to make sure that the hechsher of your fruits and vegetables on the same level that you're used to. If you normally eat a certain hechsher, and you go to
itself has to be a whole industry then.
It is. And you go into a store and the store is under a lower level hechsher than you're normally accustomed to. You can't think in Israel, it's just fruits and vegetables. It has to be. You have to make sure that it's on par. The only difference is that vegetables that you could really buy in any store because you can master them yourself. But fruits is to have the problem of Orla. That's why you can't fix Orla, so therefore you have to make sure that at least the fruits are you buy in a store that has a hechsher that is on the same level as the other products you buy. And but vegetables, again, you could buy anywhere as long as you separate the maestros.
Except for Shemitah.
Right, except for Shemitah, yeah.
Would you folks mind if I ask a personal question? Last week, dates, for example.
You should buy dates. If you're buying dates from Israel, you should buy them with Kodesh Gacha. Yeah. Okay. Usually on the box, I mean, it was loose dates. I mean, sometimes in Fairway or something, some type of fancy store, you see that they stam sell loose dates, and then you look at the, it says product of Israel. So then you have more of a problem. But if you buy most of the dates that you buy in regular stores are packaged in a, type of regular packaging, plastic packaging, whatever, and there's going to be a heksher on the label.
So OU would take responsibility for
absolutely,
this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But the you have to research, because it could be that there are certain types of fruits that have a very low instance of orla, that it's very unlikely. Like, for example, that the trees don't really produce good fruit even until after the third or fourth year. Mm-hmm. So in that case, it's very unlikely, even without hechsher, that the fruit that winds up in your on your doorstep is orla. So therefore, it wouldn't be... the pashtus is that that should be allowed because of the principle of rov, that even if you don't know where it comes from, so you should go by the majority, that if most of the fruit on the market is not orla, so then if you don't know, again, if you don't know the provenance, then you should be allowed to buy it. But the trumas demaisris, again, so then you could fix it yourself by separating the tithes yourself. But you avoid all these problems if you just get fruit from, if you're when you're buying fruit from Eretz Yisrael, you should buy with a good extra on the package.
So I still absolutely not clear how to separate those maisris. It's like,
how?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, for me it's all...
It's very, very easy. I'm going to explain. Let's do one more mitzvah, and then we'll explain, because it's relevant to what's going on in the next mitzvah as well. It's shockingly easy, actually. It's you think it's very complicated, but it's very easy. V'noeges b'zchar munekevos. It applies to males and females. B'Yisrael of a kohanim of a levim. This mitzvah of giving ma'aser rishon applies to the kohanim and the levim as well. Oh. That if they should happen to own some land, normally, again, they didn't have land that was apportioned to them, but should they find themselves being owners of some land, as I would imagine in Israel nowadays, which has a different agricultural system, there are Kohanim and Leviim who own land, they have to separate the tithes. They can't say, a Kohen can't just say, hey, I could eat all this anyway. I'm going to eat the produce without separating the trumas from ma'aseris, that they have to, all produce must be tithed, even though the Kohen might be separating out the truma and then eating it right away because he's entitled to it, and nevertheless it has to be separated out. That you separate as well, you tithe, you are talking about levim, gamatem, also you, includes the Kohanim. There are a lot of drushes on that pasuk. That another one, the drush of Gamatem, is the principle of Shlichus, that you can appoint an agent to separate the Trumas u'Maisros for you. You don't have to do it yourself. In consonance with most of the rules in the Torah, that you can appoint the Shliach. When there's something that is a mitzvah that doesn't involve your own body, then you are entitled to appoint a Shliach. And you can make a Shliach to put on tefillin for you, or to keep Shabbos for you, or things like that. But you can... Something that involves an action that you do on something else, as opposed to something that is intrinsic to your body, then you can appoint the shliach to do it.
This Gamatem principle reinforces very powerfully that there is no exception, and that it should be taken seriously by everyone, no exception.
Yeah, because another one of the drushes is that it applies to the Kohanim also. Aval acher shi'asro sanim ratzu ochlin hem ba'atzma ma'aser o yidnu oso l'kohen acher. So they... Levi has the option. I mean, the Lashon is a little bit, it's not exactly clear here, but the point, what he means is that as soon as the Levi separates out the Meiser, so he can keep it for himself. It just has to be separated out. Otherwise, the produce retains the prohibition of Tevel or untithed produce. Umitzvah shel Meiser v'gam mitzvah satruma einu noeges min ha-Torah al-Beretz Yisrael levado v'zman shiyu yisham kol Yisrael. Kain Basach Rambam Zal. If other people disagree with this, but the Shita, the Rambam, which is the thing to normally assume, Shita is that the mitzvah of Trumas Maisers only applies midaraisa, so when all of the Jewish people, at least most of the Jewish people, live in Eretz Yisrael.
It makes a lot of sense. Because you're taking good food and you're just throwing it away.
Well, you have to remember that in the ideal system, it's not being thrown away. That when
okay, but this is not the ideal system.
It's the world. The world is not ideal now, so we have things.
Throwing out food when there are people going hungry, just because there was a principle that you had to when there was a Beis HaMikdash and these people...
Has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. If you have to, it has to do with Tumah and Tara. In theory, if you have two mitzvahs now, we're going to talk about the Parah Adumah. So the Parah Adumah, the ashes of the red heifer, is what helps people attain Tara status after coming into contact with a dead body. So if you have the ashes of the Parah Adumah, and it's possible to become Tahor from Tumas Meis, contact with a dead body, so then the Kohanim can eat the Truma nowadays, even if they had the Parah Adumah. It has to be that the Truma is Tahor and the Kohen is Tahor. But so now, nowadays, nobody's Tahor. So you can't, it's just a technical reason you can't eat it. But it has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash.
There was a time when Kohanim didn't have any land, and therefore they lived from the tithes that Bnei Israel gave them. There are no.
There's no obligation. You can also invest in the stock market. You know, mm-hmm. There are also Kohanim that could be rich independently. There's nothing to do with that. But nevertheless, this is because of the honor of the Kahuna, because God decreed that we, in order to show our support for those who worship in the Beis HaMikdash, so we have to give the Trumas and Maestros.
Okay, giving it is one thing, but the Trumas and Maestros...
You have no choice. Now, if it's tame, you have to throw it out. There's nothing to be done with it. That's the halacha. Yeah, you have to do it.
No, I mean, compared to what the rest of society throws away every day. Also, so.
Oh. Yeah.
Give to Lekka. Give to the Gittler's son's charity. He gathers up all the food and distributes it. This is...
Yeah, if we
more
would
important than what
you know, if you accidentally spill some milk into a fleshic pot, you may have to throw that out too. Mm-hmm. This is terrible, I know, but that's the law.
So if we could limit all our food waste to just the separating out the trumas, so mm-hmm. then we'd be in good shape.
Is there a prohibition to giving it to nothing?
Yes. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Mitzvah zo shel meiser pikuach nefesh. And none of this would apply. What do you mean? You can eat anything. You can eat pork. You could eat pikuach nefesh. Nothing applies. You could eat orla. You could eat whatever. Fine. Except maybe avodah zara. Okay. All right. Fine. Umitzvah zo. Fine. Uveseder shoftim. The mitzvahs truma. Also, it's still chayiv midarabanan. When we say it's not obligated, we mean obligated midaraisa. I mean, it's still an obligation midarabanan always in Eretz Yisrael to separate the trumas from maestros. So there's. Although, yeah, so that's another level of darabanan. That the whole institution is darabanan, and it didn't have kvias lemaiser midarabanan. It was for sold, for selling, and it was for that. And dogan tirosh v'yitzar, again, maybe even that's darabanan according to the Rambam nowadays, that most of the Jewish people don't live in Eretz Israel. Okay, you have a lot of darabanans, but we keep darabanans. And kolshigan, you have another, you know, maybe if you get thrown in this issue of demai, that's another darabanan, that if you're not sure whether something's tithe, some people, again, tithe everything themselves. They don't want to rely on the industrial kashrus for the trumas u'maisrus. So then that's another level. Although it's interesting, talking about the food waste, so again, these people who separate their own trumas u'maisrus, even from a good hechsher, for various reasons, either because they're afraid something went wrong on the industrial level because it's too much to keep track of, or because they intrinsically hold that it's subject to the prohibition of demai, that you have anything that if you're not officially believed about Trumas Maisis, you have to separate it. So a lot of people say that if you don't hold from this and you trust the Hashgacha and you assume that it's 100% mutterdi, you don't have to separate your Trumas Maisis yourself, then somebody who's not makbid could eat the Truma that was separated out by someone who is makbid. So some people, they buy crackers that have the best hechsher in the world in Israel, okay? And they nevertheless, they separate their own trumas and maestros.
Okay.
So they throw out even this batch of crackers, which is already maestred by the Ashkacha, hopefully, and maybe even... meistered by the Rabbanut before it got to the Mahadran Ashkacha where they had to meister it again because they don't trust the Rabbanut, whatever it is. So you believe that you shouldn't trust any Hashkacha for Trumas u'Maisros, so you meister it yourself. You have this bag of crackers with a great hechsher, and you take off a little over 1%, and you say this is Truma. You do the whole ceremony, which hopefully we'll get to in a few minutes, but then somebody, so now for you this is truma, right? Vis-a-vis you, this is truma because you believe that you're supposed to miser it. So somebody
you
could
believe that whatever was done before it got to you was not properly, you
know. Oh, so somebody, so according to many shittas, somebody who trusts this hashgacha for truma sumaisris and we ordinarily eat these crackers without misering them can now eat the truma that you separated. Because according to them, right. It's silly. This wasn't required to have truma sumaiso separated, so you did nothing. So somebody told me that they personally saw this done in Rav Yoshev's household, that his assistants, maybe Rabbi Efrati, you know, one of the big Talmidim of Rav Yoshev, used to be in charge of misering his food. So they would prepare, you know, Rav Yoshev his lunch. And then whatever it was, some type of salad, they would take out a little piece of tomato, a little piece of cucumber, whatever, they'd miser it for him, and then they'd take the, after they misered it personally, they would probably take the truma and they would eat it themselves, because they said, I don't know if this needs to be misered, so why should it go to waste? Okay. So that is potentially one option to reduce the food waste. You have to get the people who are less machmir about these things to eat the truma, from those who are, but if obviously if it's you're separating from Tevel Vadai, that produce there certainly was not Meiser, then obviously no one would be allowed to eat the Truma in such a situation.
And the Rambam holds that all of these laws hold only when the great majority of Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, or it does not
apply. No. Mea Doraisa. Derabanan, everybody agrees that at least Mea Derabanan, all of it applies, yeah.
Rambam too.
Yeah. And we're also, we're getting to the point where it's going to be Doraisa. We're getting to the point where it's majority Jewish population is in Israel.
I think it's already the case.
They always say it's going to be in a couple of years, but I haven't heard anyone say it's for sure the case already, but maybe. Okay, we got to do it, no matter what. The Reis of Rabban, we got to do it. V'seder shoftim, amitzas truma, seivav, siman taf tzadivav, nevar od bezer sashem, achilukim sheish b'maiser v'truma, bein eretz Yisrael, l'suria, o chutzal aretz. That on a Darabona level, they also extended the requirement of separating the tithes to Syria. What's Syria?
Lebanon.
Basically what we call nowadays Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Not what we call nowadays Syria. So the area immediately north of Eretz Yisrael, because people used to go back and forth to there all the time. They get confused what's part of Eretz Yisrael, what's not part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Chachamim extended the requirement of separating tithes to Syria as well, and in Chutz La'aretz that they also extended the requirement of Truma Sumaisus to the areas close to Eretz Yisrael with large Jewish populations. The Rambam writes that in Egypt and Iraq, because they're close to Eretz Yisrael and had enormous Jewish populations, you have to separate Truma Sumaisus. So, as far as has been historically recorded, this is not the minhag that Jews in these places,
wow.
Egypt is.
Rocket,
but Iraq certainly isn't.
Egypt's not that close.
It's not that close. You're talking about going by camels or whatever.
Uh-huh. They share a border with Egypt.
Well, not the Eretz Yisrael we're talking about, I don't think.
Well, Gaza is right there.
Yeah, so the question is, not for now, but the question is why this was not the minhag, even though seemingly Chazal extended the requirement to these places as well. Okay. Go look and say Roshoftim, and we'll get there hopefully one day. Mitzvah Shin Sadi Vav 396. Mitzvah Halavim Laseis Meiser Mina Meiser. That the Levim have to give a tenth of the tenth. Shinitztavu Halavim Lahafrish Meiser Mina Meiser. Shame Not Lemisrael. They have to take a tithe from the tithe that they get from the regular Jews. They have to give it to the Kohanim. They have to take a tithe of the tithe. This is called the Truma of the Meiser Rishon. They should give to the Kohanim. That God said that the Levim are not supposed to be stingy with this Meiser. They're supposed to separate the best tenth of the portion that they, not necessarily the best, but a good portion that they of what they got from the Yisrael is supposed to give to the Kohen. Shenemar, Mikol Chelbois Mikdasho Mimenu. It uses the lotion of Chelev. Chelev means fat. It means the fatty part that you know, if coming into fat is coming into vogue again. But you know, for in the 60s and 70s and 80s, so people were into low fats. They would say the fatty portion is the is not the good part. But classically speaking, that in the ancient world, so the fattiest parts of the animal, the cream of the milk, was considered to be the most desirable because it's the most tasty, the highest in calories. So this you're supposed to give the fattiest parts of the truma to the, I'm sorry, the meiser, to the kohanim. V'od ne'mar al zeh v'lo tisu alav chet barim chemes chabo menu. You cannot, you should not bear an iniquity when you take out the best part from it. Yorashim yotzu min ara yale amchei. That means that the Levim commit a sin if they take the trumas meiser from a less good part of the meiser rishon. V'zein yonu ki'inyan lava ba miklal asei. So it's like, it's not literally alav haba miklal asei. Alav haba miklal asei is would be a mitzvah that was counted in the minyan mitzvahs, that when you have a mitzvah, a positive commandment that strongly implies the existence of a prohibition corresponding to it, so you would count that as a separate mitzvah. But here you have a positive commandment with which implies a prohibition, but nevertheless, since it's much less explicit, it would not be counted as an explicit mitzvah, which is the opinion of the Rambam. But actually, the Ramban does count it as a mitzvah. The Ramban says that it's a specific mitzvah that the Kohanim have to, I mean, the Levim have to give the Kohanim from the best portion of the Maaser Rishon. Mishor Shia Mitzvah, what's the reasoning behind this? Hakdama. Intro. I think he doesn't usually say this, that he's giving an intro, but okay. Ein Safik. Ki kol shevet ha-Levi hivdil Hashem me'adas Yisrael la'avodos otamid. That God separated out the Levites from the rest of the Jewish people for their worship services. Ve'amnam ba'shevet atzmo nivchar bahem echad lios le'kulam le'rosh u'le'katzin u'le'sar u'le'zar u'le'olam. But there's one portion of the Levim that was taken out to be the head and the officer, the minister, whatever, the high authority. V'hu kodesh mikudash b'shevet lamod l'sharis p'nei Hashem tamid. That's the holiest part of the Levite group. U'shar kol ha'shevet nitan tachtav l'sayeya b'avoda. The rest of the tribe is simply there to assist. K'mo shekasu v'yomer Hashem el Aaron ata uvanecha uveisavicha itach tisu asavon hamikdash. Kilomer he kol ha'shevet yekabel shmiras hamikdash. That the entire group of the Levites is going to protect the temple. But just you, descendants of Aaron, you're not your extended family, but rather your immediate family and descendants are going to bear the iniquity of your priesthood. That the priesthood is yours and yours alone. That the rest of your tribe bring close to you, and they shall be attached to you, and they serve you. That you are the main group, and not them. They are just a supporting cast. So,
do we know how it is that the distinction was made between who belongs in which group? Among the Levim, or they themselves?
But we're not talking about that right now. We're just talking about the distinction between Kohanim and Levim. Who is to be a shower and who is to be a meshower, you mean like? I think it was assigned when you first, the person in charge assigned when you first got to the base of Mikdash. Yeah. So this is an important point that if you, it depends how far you go with this idea that Levim are only a supporting cast, or do they have any independent holiness unto themselves, or only when attached to the Kohanim? The big nafkamina is that the question is, when there's no Kohen present in Shul, and you're determining to whom to give the first Aliyah, that there are two shittas, that one is you may give a levy the first aliyah, and one the other shita is you may not give a levy the first aliyah. Nobody holds you should give a levy the first aliyah, or there's any type of requirement to do so. But the shita that holds that you may not give a levy the first aliyah is to specifically make the point that a levy is only entitled to the second aliyah because he's ancillary and secondary to the kohen. So when the kohen gets the first aliyah and the levy gets the second aliyah, that's the only correct demonstration of a levy's holiness as being second to a kohen. It's improper to give a levy the first, according to the shita, it's improper to give a levy the first aliyah when a kohen is not present, because it looks as if you're ascribing independent holiness and importance to a levy, which is not true, that they only have importance serving the kohanim and not unto themselves. So, okay. But others say, okay, so either you don't, there's no prohibition, again, there's no obligation to give a levy the first aliyah, but you can if you want.
Which is why periodically we pick, you know, when we don't have a kohen, we pick somebody else, right?
Hopefully. I mean, yeah, like, I avoid that in our shul, so we have so many levim, so it would be, since they can't get an aliyah after the first aliyah if no kohen's present, so then it would be, it's a better use of our resources to give a levi the first aliyah, because, you know.
And then you can give the last.
You could give a hosafa, or you could give maftir, yeah.
We got maftir
right.
Yesterday.
Maftir,
right?
Yeah, right.
Right, maftir.
Thank you for maftir. But anyway,
you could give a kohen or a levi, or you could get, yeah. Yep, maftir. Giving of a cotton. Technically speaking, you're even allowed to give a minor the maftir.
So
because it's not one of the real
aliyahs.
Right, because not one of the real aliyahs.
So for a provincial buffer, they should not get maftir then, because that's, you could have that the year before. You know?
Right, that's why in some shuls, so a bar mitzvah or an ofra for any of these people who are being given aliyah because of an important life event, so they specifically don't get maftir. Because mafta you could even give to a minor, so it doesn't indicate any particular honor to get mafta. And nowadays people think of mafta as one of the most honorable aliyahs, because you get to chant the whole haftorah and, you know, to display to everyone how good you are at chanting the haftorah, and you get to recite all the brachas, and you not just the brachas on the aliyah, but you get all the brachas on the haftorah as well. And okay. So people think of it as a big kavod, but really halachically it's less of a kavod. So, and that's why I think Rav Shach has pointed out that's why in a lot of shuls you have this idea that the person who gets maftir should daven musaf also. So if you some gabbais will go around the shul and they say you get rishon and shlishi, no, you get maftir musaf. It's like it's a package. You get maftir and musaf together, maftir and daven musaf. So why is that? Says Rav Shach. Rav Shach says that traditionally the reason that you would allow the person, you might think, is you start Musaf right after the Maftir, so okay, so it just comes just naturally flows,
right, you know,
standing there anyway, so why not? Shachter says that classically the reason that the Maftir and Musaf went together is that being able to daven Musaf from the Amid was the consolation prize, because the Gabbai said, oh, I gave you an Aliyah, such an unimportant Aliyah that could even be given to a Katan, but don't worry, you'll get the covered by being allowed to daven Musaf afterwards. Okay. Although that the Levim are given over to the Kohanim. Alkein biyos Kohanim ikar habayis b'avodas Elokeinu, they're the main part of the Beis Hamikdash staff. Zachu b'chaf dalet matonu shenitnu lehem ha'meforoshos b'kosuv. They got the 24 gifts. Moshemanu osum chachomim zichonim levracha. Eser b'mikdash, there are 10 portions of the sacrifices, that sometimes there's a portion that goes from the menachos, from the regular animal kabanos, that goes specifically for the kohanim to be eaten. The arba b'yushalayim, the eser b'gvulin. There are 10 matnas kuna that are given even outside of Eretz Yisrael, like pinyon aben, the one we talked about, is a matnas kahuna. Like zerah v'lechayayim v'akeva, reishis hageiz. The shearing, all these things are given even in such situations. Ushar shivto shehu nivchar imo l'saye al yado zachu gam ken lichyos betova mibli yegia im meiser aperu shenot limikol Yisrael. So the reason that the Levium get the meiser, according to this approach, is like a trickle-down effect, that what we owe to the Kohanim sort of trickles down to the Levium, and they get the meiser. Ulman yedu izbonu ki kol chelkan betova v'chelak achiyem hisiba siba savoda l'Hashem. So the reason that the Levim have to give a part of their portion to the Kohanim is because that is because they should bear in mind that they owe the Kohanim the right to receive this gift. They have to give a tenth to the greater servants of God. They shouldn't get too haughty. They shouldn't think, "Oh, we Levim, we're so great. You know, we're the highest point of the Jewish people, the most holy group." No, we're not the holiest. There are people. Our holiness is only due to siphoning off the holiness of the Kohanim. And then God is on top of that. Fine. On top of the Kohanim even. They shouldn't say, "Oh, it's all due to us. We got this mitzvah independently." So no, that they... it says, you know, Pirkei Avos, in Kemach, in Torah, there's no bread, there's no Torah, you got to earn a living. So here it says there's Torah and there's Kemach. They'll be teaching the Torah, they'll be serving in the Beis Hamikdash, and they'll get bread as well. They'll get sustained through the gifts of the Ma'aser Rishon, but they have to recognize by giving some of it back to the Kohanim that it's connected, that their holiness is connected to that of the Kohanim. Midine Amitzvah, Masham Zichron Levracha. What does it say? Just tell us. Sheben Levi Shalokach Hamaiser Shibolim Lo Yitein Trumoso Shibolim. That if the Levi got the Ma'aser Rishon stocks, they, in other words, the Yisrael didn't separate the grain from the stalks. He just cut all the wheat stalks and gave it to the Levi. So the Levi is not allowed to say, "Hey, I just got stalks here, Cohen, you take stalks." They're not allowed to do that. You have to Elikon to know. So Lodush Velizros Velitein LaMaiser Mina Maiser Maiser Dogon. The Trumas Maiser he has to give from prepared grain. Veinu Chayav LaSeis Maiser HaTeven Achar SheYodush HaKol VeYizra. You don't have to give Trumas Maiser from the chaff.
Wait a second. How is it even possible to go ahead and, you know, give a maser, you know, like with something inedible attached to it?
I mean, you're
going to cut a branch off a tree and say, "Here, take the, you got two apples on
it." No, because it's attached to the edible part.
All right, it's always, okay, there's always a, yeah, some, like a stem or something like that. It's always attached. So, it's, you know, all right.
I mean, the stem, I don't think is, well, there's any like kedushas nispas on it at all. But here, for the chaff, I mean, if you want to make whole wheat bread, you know.
Okay, right.
With the whole idea of giving from the fat of the produce.
But that's the bad part.
I'm saying that's why...
That, oh, you're supposed to make the good. Yeah. You're supposed to take it off. Yeah. V'amchila hifrish ha-maiser shibolim v'dosh v'zor v'nosin lo chelko min ha-kol. But if you take out... If you got maiser... I'm sorry. If you did it... if you threshed and everything... and then you separated it, then you have to, then you give it from the, sorry, one second. Okay, fine. So if he separated the, if first he threshed, and then he separates the grain product, then he... does not have to give the chaff. He can keep all the chaff for himself. But if he separate, he thought, "Hey, I'm getting a good deal. You know, I want to include all the chaff in the separating of the Trumas Meiser, in order that I should give him extra chaff and doesn't have to give him so much grain. So then he doesn't even get to keep the chaff. He gets to keep. He has to give that to the Kohen as well." The bran is chaff is a more outer layer, no?
Yeah, right.
Bran
is actually the coating, I think, or the seed or something like that.
Yeah, so the chaff, I think, like... is, yeah.
So bran is the outer. Chaff is not edible. Bran is...
Even so you have to give the chaff. If you think you're getting out of it by separating the Trumas Maiser with the stuff in the chaff, mm-hmm. you have to thresh, And then after you thresh, you have to give him both the chaff that you threshed out of it and the actual grain that comes inside.
These days, the chaff is considered fiber, which is very important for digestion.
I think the bran. I think that. Yeah, I think not the chaff. The chaff is like the.
You can stop your mattresses with the chaff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so we have to. We city dwellers. We need to have a course. You know, we need to get Shira Wolf to give us a course on how to run a farm. You know,
there's a from farm and. Somewhere, Dutchess County or something. Maybe that's about cows and stuff.
No, there was.
They grow corn or whatever.
Yeah, there was a farm in. This is called Yiddish Farm, I think, in upstate New York. They were. They were making matzah before Pesach. They were the people that I think I mentioned that they were selling roasted grain for the Seder, and they wrote on the box. This should not come into contact with water, which I thought was crazy. How could you sell a product? Again, maybe it's right. That is, you're allowed to eat a kosher Pesach, but you can't mix it with water. It could be right. But I didn't think that it was good policy-wise to sell a product that says on a kosher Pesach and it says may not be mixed with water.
Well, during the prohibition, you know, they used to sell these things, say, caution, do not mix this with water and yeast or you make an unlawful product here, you know.
So, okay, but they had their own matzah. They baked their own matzah. Also, they had, they do things like this, Jewish things. Yeah, there's also a farm, there's another farm that's that makes milk called Bethel Creamery. They have cows, and they have organic, pastured Chalav Yisrael milk. It happens to be very delicious. But, okay, later. So they have Jews who do farming. Okay, Masha Amru Shetrumas Meiser Shaya Ba Echad Mishmone B'Shminis Molicha LaKohen. So if they separating out oil or wine, and the Trumas Meiser ends up being more than 1/64th of a lug, an eighth of a lug. Right, so then you have to give it to a Kohen. What's an eighth of a log? What's a 64th of a log? Let's pull out a handy-dandy calculator. So a revius we know is 75 milliliters. That's a fourth of a log. So times 4 is 300. 300, that's cheating. The that's 300 milliliters is a log. Divided by 64 is 4.7 milliliters.
Yeah.
So yeah, a couple of a very small amount, but if you have that amount of Trumas Meiser and ending up, then you have to the Levi has to go take it to a Kohen. Oh, v'yayinu v'shemen afilu kol shu molech l'kohen. Sorry, that's talking about other stuff. But if it's a liquid, then it actually this girsa is not in all the editions of Trumas Hadesha of the Sefer Chinuch. But he says that if it's wine or oil, which are very expensive liquid products, then you have to, even the tiniest bit, you have to go bring it to a Kohen. Vanchete Trumas Meiser Vadois has to be for sure Trumas Meiser as opposed to Demai. That when you're separating Trumas Meiser from Demai, you don't have to schlep it to a Kohen. You can just get rid of it. Utahora has to be pure, but if it's impure, you just get rid of it. Pachos mikana einu metapolicha lemashlicha bor v'sarfa. If it's less than 164, there's such a tiny amount, you don't have to bother yourself to go deliver it to a kohen, but rather you could destroy it. Umasha amru shetrumas meiser mafrishin osa shalomina mukaf. That you could even separate it if all the produce is not together in one room, which you're lechatchila you're supposed to do for truma gedola. Shnamar mikol masro sechem torimu kolomar afil yeshlocha meiser echad b'medina zov echad min acheres. If you have meiser in two different places, atamafresh truma achas alakol, you could take truma's meiser out for one batch and have it apply to the other batch as well, assuming it would be the appropriate size that would cover the both batches.
And we come. Is there a specific amount of time which a person may allow to pass before giving it over? Before giving over the maser to
Kohen?
Or is it simply adequate to separate it and when he has an opportunity to give it over?
There's no time frame per se, but again, this issue of every 3 years saying the vidui maser would come into play, that you have to get rid of, deliver all the masers to their proper place once every... 3 years in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. Umikom makom amr zichron al bracha shaltamidi chacham ein tormin ela min hamukaf. That the people who are really from will still be machmir to separate all the trumas meiser from one batch. It's explained in trumas meiser and in certain places meiser demai. The rest of the other ties. I'm going fast because I want to explain the how to be mafresh lemaisa. The gabi mitzvahs truma seivav simen tuf tzadivav beseder shoftim nivar hakol bezrudem. We're going to explain the whole order. But since somebody asked now about the way you separate trumas and maisers, you basically do it as follows. You take, you have to take all the produce. So let's say you have 100 oranges. Okay?
From Israel.
Right. You have 100 oranges from Israel, not Orla. You take out one of the oranges plus a tiny bit more of another orange. So it's slightly over 1% of the orange. And this is what you say. You say as follows. The slightly more than 1% that I separated out is Truma Gedola. Truma Gedola is the first thing that you separate out from all the produce. That's given... In theory, it's given to a Kohen. The Shuma Gedola has no shear, especially at a time where you're just going to throw it out anyway. You should try to separate out the tiniest amount possible because you're just going to throw it out. In a time where the Kohanim get it, so you're supposed to give more, a 40th or a 50th or a 60th. Okay, so that's the tiny amount that you separate out for Shuma Gedola. Then you say as follows. The remainder of what I separated, which is exactly 1% of the produce, right? And another 9/10 of the produce on the northern side of this, it's just an arbitrary way of designating a place. On the northern side of this produce are Maiser Rishon, right?
That's already complicated.
Why? Why is it complicated?
It's already complicated. You have to separate precisely 1%.
No. That it gets you out of that by doing what I just told you.
Yeah, it's already...
Because you say as follows. You say, you take the one orange plus you have to, again...
Like one big orange, shall we say, right? That works?
You could, yeah. Okay, whatever it is, you have your produce, you take out a little bit more than 1%, so you say, whatever is more than 1% over here, let's say on the northern side of the fruit, whatever, should be Truma Gedola, right? So then, you're not physically separating it, so whatever is more than exactly 1% is automatically Truma Gedola. Then you say, the 1%, again, the exactly 1% that's remaining from the thing that I separated, plus another 9/10 on the northern side of the rest of the fruit is Maiser Rishon. And that should, in theory, be given to a Levi.
Wait, it's kind of...
That should be given
to a Levi. Then you say, the part that I physically separated out that is now exactly 1% of the total is Trumas Maiser. That's a tenth of the tenth. That's a tenth of the Maiser Rishon is now Trumas Maiser. So good. So now you get rid of a little bit more than 1%. You just got rid of your Trumas Maiser and your Truma Gedola. That's all the stuff that you have to throw out. And then you say Maiser Sheni or Maiser Ani, depending on the year. Maiser Sheni is now on the southern side of the produce, and I'm hereby redeeming it on the coin that I've designated for redeeming Maiser Sheni. Simple.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have basically.
That was Rav Schechter. We all wrote down exactly what he said, and then we all said, "We'll never buy any produce from Israel again." And he said, "No, that's the wrong answer."
Well, the nusach is found in almost every sitter. What you're supposed to say. So basically, you just separate out a little more than 1% of the produce, a tiny bit more than 1%. You say what it says in the sitter, you throw out the slightly more than 1% you separated, and then you're good.
Yeah.
You also have shilas, just by the way, that what happens if you separate the trumas meiser before you separate the meiser? Is that really you're supposed to, the lechatchilaway, you're supposed to separate out the meiser rishon, and then a tenth of that you separate out as trumas meiser. But it works b'dieved, you're not really supposed to do it, if you separate out the trumas meiser first. So again, that's once you understand the principles, again, if you just read the Nusach in the city, you're like, what is going on? Or I explain it to you very fast, you're like, what is going on? But once you understand the principles of what's going on, then it's pretty pretty comprehensible the way to separate Shumas and Maisers. Again, the way the procedure I just described is for the procedure when you are not physically giving the Maiser Rishon to a Levi. Then if you're physically giving the Maiser Rishon to a Levi, as one is supposed to do, if, for example, you have a tree in your backyard in Israel and you know for sure that the stuff hasn't been tied, you're supposed to give the Maiser Rishon to Levi, then obviously it would be a slightly different procedure that would involve physically separating out not just the 1%, but a full tenth of the produce, and just separating out another tenth as a Trumas Maiser. The Levi himself could separate out a tenth as a Trumas Maiser. But that's the procedure to follow when you're not when you're keeping everything for yourself, except for the truma, which is not allowed to be eaten at all. Okay. So it's not so difficult. Just say what it says in the Siddur, and you're good.
It was originally instituted at the time this was enforced. Was it sufficient simply to separate it in order for you to then enjoy that part that you were allowed to?